She'll be here Saturday.
Lord of Love.
Gets in Saturday, all right, so you might want to make a note of that, and we'll want to pray for Sister Ruth Ann, and looks like a Saturday flight. All right. Now, be careful what you want. Be careful what you ask for. Okay? Just in the sense of what you think and what you talk about, and definitely be careful what you pray for. Be careful what you pray for. Because I heard an evangelist say one time that they got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. And I have seen that so many times. People want something. They want something so bad. And, you know, it might be financial. It might be a job. It might be something to do with a car. I knew one situation where people wanted a business. They wanted a business so bad. They wanted they got the business. And I'm afraid, they'd have been better off without it. Okay? And I say that based on how things went in their lives.
Yeah.
And so be careful. If you get what you want, you might lose what you have. Now let's look at the book of Psalms, Psalm 106. Psalm 106 and verse 15, where it says, "And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul." Got what they wanted, but lost what they had. And then if you, with that thought in mind, turn to Psalm 78 and verse 29. You know, God fed them with angel food. Verse 25 says, man did eat angels' food. But they wanted meat. They wanted meat. They weren't satisfied with what God provided. So he sent them meat. They got what they wanted. But look at verse 29. "So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire." And it didn't satisfy. You see, they wanted meat. They got their meat. But they were not near as satisfied on that quail meat as they were on the angel's food.
Amen.
Of the manna that God sent. Be careful what you desire.
Uh-huh.
Be careful what you pray for. Back in Psalm 106, he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. There are some things that we can lose when we get what we want, when that isn't what God wants. And the one thing is the joy of salvation. Now we're still in the book of Psalm 51. Psalm 51 and verse 12. Psalm 51 and verse 12, where David prayed, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." You see, David wasn't satisfied with what he had through God's way. So he decided he was going to go about getting what he wanted his way. He got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. The joy of his salvation.
Amen.
The satisfaction that you get when you're in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we don't realize how much fellowship we have with God until we lose it.
Yes, sir.
And then we realize we were walking with God. You know, but sometimes what we expect that to be, okay, and so we expect something different than what God would give us. And so we need to line our expectations up with what God says. Now, in getting ready for tonight's, I was looking at some scriptures that had to do with how we please God. How do you please God? What pleases God? Now, I may just have to put a message together on that, because, you know, there are certain things that please God, and that's the way we need to live. Now, coming out here tonight, driving up 86, I was listening to one of those CDs by A.W. Tozer.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. And he said this. Now, it wasn't Tozer preaching, but it was a man reading one of his sermons. And what Tozer said was, what did you do this week that was different because you are a Christian?
Uh-huh.
Okay. What did you do this week that was different because you are a Christian? In other words, when it came to the matter of love, how did you demonstrate love? How did you show love that was different because you're a Christian? And what about the matter of kindness? You see, your unsaved neighbor can be kind, but how are we going to demonstrate the kindness of Jesus Christ? You say, well, I'm not sure I see the difference. You know, try praying. Try praying. And God will, and then just the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, your unsaved neighbor, they can do something to be kind. But you can do it and demonstrate the Lord Jesus Christ because of the manner in which you go about it. Even some of the very things that you say while you're doing it. You see, your unsaved neighbor, they can show kindness by baking a pie. I told you how I had Pat bake some things and then take them to a neighbor and give them a gospel booklet with them. Then I follow that up with something else that, you know, when she's up and at them and able to bake, and I'll tell her, I said, bake something. And so she baked some apple bread. Oh, that was good. And she sprinkled vanilla or a white icing over it. And I took that to a neighbor. And now his wife bakes, he bakes, but we took that to him because we wanted to water that booklet. Plus, this guy mows our lawns in the summer. He's the fellow who mows the back section that we have, okay? He's the one who uses his snowblower on the sidewalk. 3-4 of us neighbors, he does. But I like to take him something every now and again, okay? Because I want him to know that we appreciate, and then always get a word in there somehow, okay? Always get a word in there. I stopped, he was waxing his car, and I stopped and chatted. He came up to the truck and he was talking with me, and so he said, hey, that bread was really good. And I said, I'll let Pat know, because she likes to be a blessing to people. She prays, think, what can she do to help people? And so she'll bake something and try and help them that way. Just another little thing for Jesus, okay? You say, that's no big deal. Well, try giving that guy the Romans Road in 15 minutes, okay? And press him for a decision, and then the next thing you could see is when you come down the street and you slow up, he just happens to remember something he needs in the garage. Okay, and so sometimes just a little bit is a whole lot more than a lot that we could do. And so you know, love and kindness and helpfulness and so many different ways that we need to do, and because we're different, we're in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you may get what you want, but if you lose the satisfaction of your salvation, see the joy, and again that word joy. Oh, happy, you know, good, happy. I'm happy. I'm a Christian. I'm happy, happy, happy. Well, you know, there is that kind of joy, but you know, I can imagine David was pretty down in the dumps. Okay, I don't know if they used that term back then or not. But I could imagine he wasn't just too chipper. Okay, because he didn't have any peace. He didn't have any satisfaction. He had no contentment. Things that he did were not fulfilling to him. This is the things that we lose. Those are the things that we miss out on when we lose the joy of salvation. And another thing that we can lose when we get something we shouldn't have, and that is the power of God. Like Samson. Samson, he won. He wasn't satisfied. His dad even said to him, "Can't you be satisfied with one of these pretty Hebrew girls?" "Oh no, Daddy, I gotta have that." And then he named her, okay, where she was, and that's who I have to have. Well, he got her. Mm-hmm. You know the rest of Samson's life. He'd have been better off without her. Now, God took his mistake and used it to accomplish his purposes. But don't you ever think that God wanted Samson to get into that mess? Because God had things he wanted to do. God can accomplish things without our disobedience. But when we do wrong, God can use that to accomplish his purposes. And then in the process, Samson got back the way he ought to have been. And I wonder when he was standing there with his eyes out, okay, and his hair grew back, and he stood there with his arms around those pillars, and I wonder if he thought to himself, this one had to be.
Amen.
He knew when he pulled them pillars down, he's going down with it. He knew there was no way he was going to live. He said, did he commit suicide? No, he brought judgment on his oppressors.
Yeah.
In the process, he died. But his goal wasn't to kill himself.
Right.
Could have done that in a lot of other ways. Yeah. His goal was to bring judgment on his oppressors. Yeah. And so we've got to be careful that we don't lose the power of God. You say, well, I don't feel like I have very much power of God in my life. Quit your whining. Read the Bible faithfully. Pray for God to lead you and show you. And boy, when you walk with him day by day. See, it's your walk with him. You might read some book, some story about some great Christian. I read like A.W. Tozer. I got a book of quotes. And I like to read. Sometimes I'll read a whole page in one day. Boy, I like to read that. And it's encouraging. But I can't have the fellowship that A.W. Tozer had with God. Because I'm not A.W. Tozer.
That's right.
Now I can learn what fellowship with God is like. I love to read biographies. I know Pastor does too. And I love to read biographies. And you can see how God works in people's lives. But if I ever get to longing to try to be like someone else, won't work. And I'll lose what I have. But if I'll just walk with God and have fellowship with God, and I'll obey God for me, then God will give blessing and strength and courage. But I must be careful lest I become a pushover for God. I'm going to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You see 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26. Talks about 24, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We must be sure that we don't lose the power of God like Samson did. We need to beware of being a pushover for the devil, for certain. We must beware of that. Another thing we can lose is our testimony. Oh, boy. Now we're going to go to Genesis chapter 19. You'll see this quickly. I mean, this is really one of the clear ones. Well, I think they're all clear, but this one is definitely easy to see. All right, we're looking at Genesis chapter 19 and losing testimony. We're going to look at verse, you see, this is the destruction of Sodom. And it's the third step in Lot's backsliding. There came two angels, verse 1, to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night. Wash your feet, and ye shall rise early." And then, you know, there came men but beating on a door, and they wanted these men to come out. They wanted to have illicit sexual relationships with them and practice their sodomy. This was in Sodom. That's where the name sodomy comes from. Comes from this experience. So people say, well, there is no such a thing in the Bible. They're ignorant. They just don't read the Bible. That's why they don't think there's anything there. Now we're down to verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." He had no testimony with them because of what he put up with, and he didn't stand up against. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. He lost his testimony.
Yes, sir.
Okay, they didn't need to listen to him because of the way he lived in the conditions that he was living with. Finally, God sends in two men and gets hold of Lot and says, "Look, this is what's going to happen. Get your act together, Lot." And so Lot realizes. So he goes to his sons-in-law and he talks to them, and they didn't have any time for him. Didn't want to listen to him. Because he didn't have anything in his life to back it up. We must be careful. Don't get what you want and lose what you have. One thing of which being your testimony. Now there's more, but let me just read them off. You can lose your usefulness to God. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, where Paul was concerned that God would set him on a shelf, put him on a shelf. And it's not a matter of losing his salvation, but his service. He's going to lose these crowns. You say, "Well, I'm not worried about losing crowns. If I get to heaven, that'll be enough." It won't be when you get there. You're thinking carnal when you think that way now. Because when you get there, one of the things we're going to do with our crowns is not strut around how many crowns they are.
Yeah.
We're going to take them and cast them at the feet of Jesus. And Paul was fearful that he'd be a castaway, shelved by God. Thank God that you can serve him and work for him. You can lose your family. Remember the priest Eli and his sons? Here again, he didn't stand for what was right. He didn't teach his boys right. He didn't hold them accountable. Lost his family. You can lose your health. Oh, we got to turn to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. There's two of them here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm trying to get there fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30, verse 28, we're to examine ourselves and we're to judge ourselves. And then he says in verse 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you." You can lose your health by getting what you want when it's not what God wants for you. You can lose your health. And then the rest of that 30th verse, many sleep. You can lose your life. John tells us in one of his three little letters in the back there before the Revelation, he tells us about there is a sin unto death. And he even goes on and he says, I don't, I don't say you should pray for it. This is a sin unto death. This person is going to die because of this sin that they're participating in. Now, thank God for conviction. Thank God for repentance. But the Bible does say there is a sin unto death. You say, well, how do you distinguish it? Not by trying to live as close as you can to it. You'll never distinguish it that way. You'll miss it every time. Because, you know, then you become a pushover for the devil. And so you can lose your life. And then, of course, we can lose our rewards in heaven as well. Because of the things that God has given to us. Wood, hay, stubble is all we have. And he wants us to have gold, silver, and precious stone. Ah, I got it in. All right, now we're going to go to prayer. We're going to go to prayer and come talk to the Lord.